We'd like to address the following issues today. Number one, Sefer Bamidbar, which coincides with Shavuos, as the Gemara tells us that before Shavuos we read Parshas Bamidbar, it opens with the counting of Bnei Yisrael. And we'd like to understand, based on Chazal in the Midrashim, what is the sedge, what is the connection between counting Bnei Yisrael, Midbar, and Kabbalah Satorah. Second thing we'd like to address today is, to what extent do we realize that according to the Hashkafa of Yadus, the two holidays of Pesach and Shavuos are bridged by the Sfira and connected by the Sfira? And the third question we want to address is this concept of Kabbalah Satorah on an annual basis. What does it mean? What's its significance? And last but not least, what is the deeper meaning in the concept of Midbar in general? We're going to begin with a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Se'u es Rosh kol Adas b'nei Yisrael, l'mishpachosam l'beis avosam. The Medrash points out that the emphasis here on counting b'nei Yisrael is l'mishpachosam l'beis avosam, which means that we're going to back to our ancestry, what we call Yichus. And this connects directly, according to the Medrash, with Kabbalah Satorah. B'shosh kibu Yisrael Satorah, niskanu umo sa'olam bahen. The nations of the world were jealous. They too sensed, you know, with some level of a spiritual motivation, perhaps, that they were being left out, and Klal Yisrael was being singled out by the Ribbono Shelam. Sometimes when you read this Medrash about Niskanu Umos Olam, you think that it's more of a concept. It's not the actual Umos Olam. It's their Malach up in Shemayim, so to speak, something representing them on a more abstract, conceptual level. Ma Ro'u L'Skarev Yosef and Umos, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu have you brought this nation, singled out the people of Israel, and brought them closer to you? And the response of this claim, in the words of the Medrash, is Sosem Piyem. God comes to reject their argument. V'yomar lehem, and God says to them, Hevili Sefer Yuchsin Shalachem. Where in the nations of the world can you bring a Sefer Yuchsin, some sort of document that connects you back to earlier generations, to your ancestors? Shenemar, and here the pasuk in Tilim becomes critical. Havu Hashem mishpachos amim. The nations of the world are being demanded. It's being demanded of them to bring forward their mishpachos, their family trees, so to speak. Kshem shabonai mevin. Just like my children, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring their mishpachos, their family trees, vayisyaldu al mishpachosam. And the interesting thing is that the emphasis here on Yichus, almost as a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah, is a very strange emphasis. We don't put that much on Yichus. In fact, I've said many times that if you go back into your family trees, you know, if you go back long enough and far back enough, you'll find that who knows who was there in, you know, different kinds of criminals, etc. And not only that, but a person should have his own Yichus. You know, what did he deserve? What did he create out of himself, you know, with the toil of his own two hands? Not so much relying on the Yichus of others. It's a strange kind of statement in Chazal. And if you look at the Mefarshim and the Medrash, they point this out. V'tamu. And they raise the question, this is brought down in a sefer called the Yismach Moshe, Tamu al Amoram, Ma Inyan Sefer Yuchsin Lazeh. What's the relationship between the Sefer Yuchsin, this document that traces your ancestry, and receiving the Torah? V'chi Ma Inyan Yichus? Halo Kfar Nema Michote Veitzecha Ad Shoeve Meimecha. The Pasuk, if we fast forward to Nitzavim, talks about a bris with every last rank and file, every single rank and file Jew, whether he's a water carrier, whether he is a wood chopper. We're not looking for Yichus. It's not, you know, it's not that you deserve the Torah because, you know, you're a pedigree. You know, in the old days when they used to talk about dogs, you know, and selling dogs, they used to have pedigree. You know, this dog comes from a lineage. I mean, what's that all about? So that's our first question for today. The second question, namely, is the Svira and how is the Svira a bridge between Pesach and Shavuos, between Geulas Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, is addressed specifically by the Sefer HaChinuch. And this you'll find in Mitzvah Shin Vav, the famous Mitzvah Shin Vav of Sfiras HaOmer. And as you know, the Chinuch always has Sharshei HaMitzvah. He goes into the speculative rationale for each mitzvah, trying to find its root, its source, its origin, and its meaning. And he writes that the Sharshei HaMitzvah with regard to Sfira al Tzad HaPshat, that's rare. You know, he's saying that this is very close to Pshat itself. What I'm going to reveal to you is not in the normal speculative realm that describes and classifies Sharshei HaMitzvah. Now we're talking about a Shoresh, which is really almost inherent in the mitzvah itself, clear in the mitzvah itself. It's not coincidental that Sfira begins with Pesach and ends with Shavuos. There is a connection between those two calendar dates, those two holidays. And he says, Lefisha kol ikarin shel Yisrael eino ela haTorah. What is the essence of the nation of Israel? It's the Torah itself. That justifies their essential category and status. It's not that the Torah is something added to them. You know, it's a good luxury on top. You know, it's extraneous to their essence and coincidental. No, this is the Ikron Shel Yisrael, and therefore, this becomes not just an action in which one nation accepts the Torah, but it has cosmic implications. Mipnei haTorah nivru shamayim v'yaretz. The entire process of creation of heavens and earth, the entire universe is justified, and Klal Yisrael is a special nation. It's justified by that one moment, that critical crossroad of Kabbalah Sator of Maimon Har Sinai. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu ben Ofim, no brisi, if not for the bris of Torah, Yom V'Laila, Lo Samti, etc., etc. And if we go now, delve into the inherent depths of Geulas Mitzrayim of Chag HaPesach, he, meaning the Torah, and the receiving of the Torah, is Ikar HaSibah Shenigalu. Why were they taken out of Mitzrayim? This was not just a political, economic freedom for a nation of slaves, be that as it may, as great as that is, and compassion, divine compassion for slaves. That's only a very insignificant dimension, relatively. The dimension that's significant, and the Ikar HaSibah of Geula, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is Kideshi Kablu HaTorah B'Sinai, that the people will be freed, they will go 7 weeks later to Har Sinai, and there they will accept the Torah V'Kaimu, and they will fulfill it. And if you go back to the original encounter between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, Hashem reveals to Moshe, when Moshe asks for an os, he reveals to him not just an os in the sense of a miraculous act, but an os meaning the purpose and the goal. Zelcha ha'os, if you want to understand why the people of Israel are being redeemed, ki anochi shlachticha, and therefore I have sent you as the Redeemer of Israel, is the answer is because bo'tziyacha sa'ami mitzrayim ta'avdu nesalukim al ha'arazeh. It means ho'tziyacha, I've taken you out, and why? Kedesh tekablu haTorah hi ikar agadol shebishvil zehem nigolim. They will receive the Torah, and that's why they're being redeemed. Hi atachlis haTovah shelem, and that's the ultimate good for them. And he says that inyan gadol hu lehem yosim anacheris miavdus. If you compare the, shall we say, the first stage of the process of liberating the slaves and see it as in its limited perspective as Cherus, that is secondary to the ultimate clincher, the apex of this entire process of creating a people through Kabbalah Satorah. That's when they reach the Ikar. So the Cherus Me'avdus is stage one, but it's secondary to stage two, which is the ultimate, namely receiving the Torah. And therefore, l'chein yas Hashem l'Moshe os, Hashem reveals an os, that seisa me'abdus l'kabos haTorah, that the tafel, the secondary, the prerequisite, is going to be taking them out of Mitzrayim. That process of redemption and the termination of Avdus is a stepping stone leading up to the Ikar, to what's essential, to what's primary, namely Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, as a result of this, that Ikar and Shel Yisrael and Ba'avura Nigalu, the Ol Gdula, is in order to receive the Torah, Mount Sinai, Nitztavu, therefore we were commanded, Limnos, Mimachas, Yom HaPesach, Ad Yom Nesinas HaTorah. We are counting the days until we receive the Torah. Laharos, and what are we illustrating? Binafshenu, sometimes the action actually has an impact on our souls. In this case, the action of Sfira, of counting down to the to Matan Torah, is impacting on our souls. And what does it trigger off? Hachifetz Agodol Elayom HaNichbad VaNichsaf LeLibeinu. Beautiful poetry of the Sefer Chinuch. It means we are so inspired by anticipating and longing and even craving for that Yom HaNichbad, that glorious day in which we'll be crowned with glory, with the crowns of Torah. Nichsaf LeLibeinu, it's something that we simply, like oxygen, we long to breathe it in. Ke'evet she'yifshaf tzel, like an evet who's working under the beating sun, and all he longs for is the shade of it, to be under a tree protected. Ve'yimne tamid masa yovo eisa nichsaf ela, we count with great anticipation, when is that day going to come, the day that we're longing for, the day in which our chayrus reaches its culmination. And the counting really demonstrates and also impacts on the nefesh to understand and feel how much we desire to reach that ultimate goal of Kabbalah Satorah. Now again, the obvious question is, this makes sense in its historical context, when Klal Yisrael, that door of Yotzei Mitzrayim, were counting down till they could serve Hashem and receive the Torah at our Sinai. But what does it have to do with us? We've already received the Torah. The Torah is a given. And on an annual basis, are we going to receive the Torah? What does that mean? And that's why I want to study with you. And this is the main meat and potatoes of our discussion today. I mean, we'll have Hashem a chance to study other sources as well, but to focus our energies on one of the great Bali Musar of the previous generation. His name was Rav Moshe Chevroni, and he was one of those who established and taught in the yeshiva in Chevron. And in Maimar Chaf Hei of his Sefer Masas Moshe, he really addresses this issue of what Kabbalah Satorah is all about on an annual basis. And he quotes the Sfarim that we are obligated annually on every Chag HaShavuos to receive the Torah. And he quotes the Sefer Chinuch that we just learned of Misharshei Mitzvah to emphasize that we're counting down with the Sfira till we reach Kabbalah Satorah. And we're anticipating and longing for Kabbalah Satorah. And the Sefer HaChinuch is writing this as an insight, as a revelation, illustrating the nature of Sefiras Omer for all times. Not just the original Sefiras Omer when they received the Torah, but every year we are counting down to the receiving of the Torah. Obviously, there's Kabbalah Satorah every year on Chag HaShavuos. And when we think about that Chiyuv, we really are perplexed by it, because Bishleim HaSfiras Omer before the original Matan Torah, that makes sense. But now, after Matan Torah, the post-Matan Torah period, we have the Torah already. What does it mean to count down the days to Yom Matan Torah? It needs some sort of clarification, some sort of elucidation. And he writes, V'nira dahavi mishum debechol chag ha-sukos, on an annual basis every year, when Chag HaShavuos comes around, Hazmanu Mesugal Kabbalah Satorah, there's something inherent in the atmosphere of this particular day that precipitates it sort of prepares us for Kabbalah Satorah. It facilitates Kabbalah Satorah, and we have to declare Nasim v'Nishma Tzarch L'Kabbalah Sator Michadosh, an annual brand new Kabbalah Sator of Nasim v'Nishma, year in and year out on Chag HaShavuos. That's what's inherent in the atmosphere and the spirituality, the nature of Chag HaShavuos. So what does it mean? And it's very fascinating to me that in order to answer this question, and it's such a fundamental question about the essence of Chag HaShavuos, Rav Chavroni stretches his arm out to a Yerushalmi. And this Yerushalmi has become famous, I think, because of this particular Musa Shmuz in Sichos Musa of Rav Moshe Chavroni, in which he writes, based on the Yerushalmi, that Rav Masharshia in the Yerushalmi says and points out that in all the Karbonos, and we bring many Karbonos on all the Moedim, it always mentions Chet. And yet, when we get to the Karbonos of Chag HaShavuos, of Atzeres, there's no mention of Chet. And Rav Masharshia makes the following declaration. When it comes to Atzeres, Omar Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mikeva Shekibaltem Aleichem Old Torah, because you have accepted upon yourself the yoke of Torah, Malani Aleichem Kiyu Lochatas Lochatosem Mimechem. Please underline those words. Note those words. Kiyu Lochatosem Mimechem. If you emphasize those words, you come to a remarkable conclusion that Atzeres supersedes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's great day of tshuva, but despite the power of Yom Kippur to be mechaper with tshuva, nevertheless there are certain sins which have such an impact that tshuva itself will not be enough to be mechaper. And if you take a look at the Dalet Chiluki Kapara at the end of Yuma, you'll see that certain averus, in addition to Yom HaKippurim, require tshuva, and in addition to tshuva, they require yisurim. And not only that, in the case of Chil Hashem, it's not sufficient to do tshuva, it's not sufficient to suffer yisurim, you need Misa Mechaperes. But with regard to Kabbalah Satorah on Chag HaTzeres, and Rav Masharshia in Yerushalmi says, Ki ilu lo chataska me'olam, we're talking about the fact that there's no leftover impact of the sin. It's completely, completely wiped off. Like when you shake the Etch-a-Sketch. And there's nothing left. Ki ilu lo chata me'olam. That's the emphasis here. It's like a tinok shenola. You're a new identity, a new person. And now we have to understand it. What is so far-reaching about Kabbalah Satorah that it's ki'ilu lo chata me'olam? And furthermore, how does this Kabbalah impact on us, on our spiritual selves and souls on an annual basis? Every year there's a new hechsher for Kabbalah Satorah. Why is this necessary? Why bother with Kabbalah Satorah when we have the Torah? And again, to answer this question, Rav Moshe Chavroni stretches his arm, I'm once again surprised, to an Agadita in Perek HaSocha Sapolim B'Metzia. And where it tells us that Rav Yochanan one day, the great Rav Yochanan, was washing himself in the river, in the Yarden, and he saw Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish was able to jump from one side of the river to the other. And Rav Yochanan was so dazzled, so amazed by this, that he turns to Reish Lakish and he says, Chelik lo raisa. As if to say, you know what, God bestowed upon you these great gifts of physical strength. You know what, you should be using that strength, channeling it for the Torah. You're wasting it away. The Gemara tells the Reish Lakish that that target was the chief bandit, you know, involved in robbery and theft. Kibal Aleh, after a long dialogue, Rabbi Yochanan was able to persevere, and Reish Lakish just backed off, and he accepted. Again, he had a promise here to marry Rabbi Yochanan's sister. I guess that may have been, you know, one of the factors here. But basically, kibul aleh. And the Gemara reports that Boyle Meheder, he wanted to go back and jump in the opposite direction and lasuye money and to gather together his possessions. V'lo motzi hadar. Lo and behold, it's like, you know, imagine if you clip the wings of a moth. Upirish Rashi v'lo motzi likfotz kirishon. He couldn't jump over the Arden like he did just a few minutes before. Rashi says that the very moment he accepted upon himself the Torah, the yoke of Torah, he was weak. He became weak and feeble. Now let's understand that a person, let's say, makes a decision in his heart that will require, and he's willing to commit himself a great deal of work. Will he become weak immediately when he makes that decision? What we see here is something unique about Kabbalah's old Torah. An individual commits himself, in this case Reish Lakish, to sweat and toil in Torah and to fulfill its mitzvahs the way it should be fulfilled. That old Torah gives a person a spiritual high. It really transforms the person. He no longer belongs to the world of materialism, possessions, and physicality. He becomes ruchni. He becomes a spiritual individual. And the Gemara tells us that Torah mateshes kochu shel adam. We think it's the learning of the Torah and the toil of the Torah. We're saying it's the ruchnius of the personality of the Torah studier. When one engages in Torah study, he becomes weak, not because of the physical and psychological sweat and toil of learning, that too perhaps, but moreover because of the nature of his identity, of his very personality. There are two types of personalities. There's the Chomri personality and the Ruchni personality. And when a person becomes a Ruchni, when he changes his system of priorities, and number one on his list now becomes Torah, that changes his very personality. If a person, let's say, takes upon himself that he's going to become a PhD in mathematics or in physics, that doesn't change his personality. The transformation of personality is very unique when you go from Chumrius to Ruchnius, because you've changed yourself the very moment that you have, you know, have looked in a new direction. You know, your head is turned in a new direction. You have a new set of goals and priorities. And I don't know if this is b'derech hateva, if it works out that, because maybe if it was b'derech hateva, if you decide on anything that's going to require a great deal of work and toil, it should transform your person. I don't think so. I think we're talking about something that's not b'derech hateva. That a person who dedicates and commits himself to amelus b'torah, to amelus real, true, hard work in kiyum mitzvahs, he becomes ruchni, and his personality has changed. Reish Lakish is no longer able to jump over the river. He's a new person. He's a tinok shenolad dami. And therefore, on Chagat Seres, on an annual basis, when a person receives, accepts and part himself the Torah, it's as if lo chatam yolam. And it supersedes the power of Yom Kippur, because after this Kabbalah Satorah of Chag HaShavuos, he becomes a new personality. A new reality emerges. The old reality, the old person, is no longer here. Until this point, he was Mr. Gashmi. You know, he enjoyed his physical pleasures, his pastimes. You know, he goes to banquets and plays and sports spectacles, and he does sports himself. Maybe he enjoys jumping out of planes or skiing or whatever it is, and that's where his primary focus is on. Now he's changed his priorities. He became a ruchni person. He's now interested in Torah and mitzvos. He's not the same person anymore. And why? Because he underwent a profound experience of Kabbalah Satorah. And that experience of Kabbalah Satorah impacts on his soul, on his personality, his identity. On an annual basis, he becomes a ruchnius person. He now is is ready and prepared to receive Torah, and the Gashmius part is now pushed down to a secondary level. That's the power of Torah. And as a result of this Matan Torah, he changes himself and ki'ilu lo chatam yolam. And in the case of Reish Lakish, that transformation of personality is so powerful that he is he's unable to do, you know, to exert those powers in that he had before. We've spoken on many occasions in the past about the letters that were written by the Chazon Ish, that were collected posthumously in Igros HaChazon Ish, and these letters reveal a spiritual world of the Chazon Ish that's so unique. And in one particular letter, which is in the first chelik, it's Michtav Yud Gimel, he speaks about the greatness of a Talmud Chacham, someone who has accepted upon himself the yoke of the study of Torah. He's a scholar who's dedicating himself exclusively to Torah study. Says the Chazon Ish in his beautiful poetry, Ha'ish ha-zocha li-yediyas ha-Torah. This person who, as a result of his Kabbalah, of his commitment, has become a possessor of the knowledge of Torah. He's acquired and he now controls and possesses the Torah. Who holeich bein anoshim, even though you see him as a physical being, he looks on, you know, externally like any other human being, any other mortal man. V'nidmelonu b'mishiroa b'einenu kim ben adam. He says, aval be'emes, in truth, below the surface, if we could only penetrate below the surface, hu malach hagarim b'nei t'musa. He's really an angel that lives amongst finite mortal human beings. V'u be'etzem k'dusha also k'mo malach. But if we look to below the surface and we try to penetrate into the very essence of his sanctity, this Chacham, who was Zochet Yediyas HaTorah, this Talmud Chacham, who Etzem Kedusha, Kedusha Kamo Malach. He is Etzem Kedusha. He's like a Malach. And believe that, or I'd like to pick up on this concept, if we have time today, of becoming like a malach. You know, that Nasa v'nishma makes you like a malach. The Chazal told us, Mi gilua lahem sod zeh. You know, that who revealed to Klal Yisrael the secret of the malachim that only the malachim knew about until that point of Nasa v'nishma. And Reb Baruch Ber, who is the great Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz, the author of Birchas Shmuel, writes that when we say in the davening, it's one of the deeper petitions of the Yemei HaSlichos, Ruach Kodesh Chal Tikach Mimenu, and we think it means that God, you should be with us and don't separate and distance yourself from us, says Reb Baruch Ber, no, the Kavana is Al Gufo Shel Talmid Chacham Shehu Ruach Kodeshcha. We must have, it's the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael, to have Talmidei Chachamim that really give life to the people of Israel. And we ask Hashem to be Mekayim Banu Chachmei Yisrael. That's Ruach Kodeshcha. Why? Why are the Talmidei Chachamim called Ruach Kodeshcha? The answer is because the goof of the Talmud Chacham becomes Ruach Kodeshcha. It becomes, as we discussed before, Etzem HaKedusha. And we ask Hashem not to take that away from us. And that's Kedei L'Kayim Banu Chachmei Yisrael. We're really pleading that the Ruach Kodeshcha, which means the goof Talmud Chacham that we said is Etzem Kedusha, should remain within our communities. And I asked the question at the outset, what is the significance of Midbar? And the Torah is given in the Midbar, and the Pasuk tells us that Torah and Midbar are connected with each other. And this is something that will reappear amongst the giants of Musar and Chassidus throughout the generations to unravel the mystery of the Torah being given in the Midbar. And the fact that we read Sefer Bamidbar, we open it up on Erev Shavuos, literally. And the Medrash seems to offer two contradictory answers to this question. One is, Ma'elu b'chinam l'chol b'yolam kach divrei Torah. Just like the Midbar is free, there's no charge, there's no ownership. Anyone can come and pick it up. It's chinam. And for whom? For all b'yolam, anyone who comes and wants to take it. The Midbar itself is free, and kach divrei Torah, the Torah itself is free. There's no one protecting it. No one is possessing it and locking it up in their safe. It's accessible to anyone. That's the comparison between Torah and Midbar. But then, the Medrash offers a different answer to this question. What is the connection between Midbar and Torah? And he writes the following. Ein Adam and im Efshar Lasos Atzmo Hefker Kemidbar Ein Yochel Liknos HaTorah VaMitzvos. That a person has to somehow make himself into a Midbar in order to be Kone Torah. And the Sfasemis points out that at the face of it, there seems to be a contradiction here in the two statements of the Midrash. Are we to understand that they're mutually exclusive? On the one hand, you're telling it's chinam, the Torah is accessible, it's free of charge. On the other hand, you're telling me, no, I have to make a possession, a kinyan, I have to acquire ownership over the Torah. That doesn't make any sense, because the Torah by its very essence is midbar, it's chinam, it's l'chol b'yolam, and it's anyone could have access to it. And now you tell me, no, you possess the Torah by being like a midbar. And in the language of Sfasemis, l'chora elu hapirushim sosrim zedzeh. Eichem chinam v'tzrichim lasos atzmenu chasenu hefke kemidbar. How can it be chinam, and yet we have to make ourselves and our possessions hefker like a midbar? Obviously we own it then. Achen. He says, no, there's no stira. Vadai Torah chinam ubi shiirtze yochel lilmod. For sure, Torah is free for anyone to take. And that's upgrade. That's beyond doubt. Avoliknos ha-Torah. Although it's true that anyone can learn Torah and the door is open, it's a midbar, it's chinam, but nevertheless, to make a kinyan on Torah, we're not talking about the intellectual pastime of acquiring Torah knowledge by studying Torah. No, we're talking about a higher level, something that's existentially, fundamentally different and unique, qualitatively different. That's liknos haTorah. Lios lo dveikus bi etzem haTorah. We spoke about the fact that a chacham can become guf haKedusha. How does he do that? Because he becomes dveik in the Torah itself. And that's why we say that a zaken is misha kana chachma. Kana chachma, and here's the beautiful poetry of this Sfasemis, hainu sheyesh lechachma dira v'ken belibo. The Torah itself is looking for a place to rest, a nest, a house to host the Torah. And that's what Zaken is Kana Chachma means, Miloshen Ken. Ken is the nest. And his heart becomes a nest, so to speak, a resting place, to invite the Torah into, to join him. V'alzeh mevakshim v'hariv na. The second bracha of Birchas HaTorah that we recite daily, Harev Na. And what's the import of a Harev Na, this bracha? Sheyia Tarovas HaTor Befer HaAdon. That we want the Torah that's so sweet in the mouth of a person, Leos Nivloim Bidomo, it should penetrate into the very fiber of his being. And that's only possible if he makes himself Hefker, which means that he, in a sense, cuts off his connection to the world of seeking pleasure and material possessions. If he can cut himself off and change his priority system and make himself hefker, which means lack of concern with any of the material possessions, that's not his focus, that's not what he's thinking about, then he can reach the level of Divrei Torah Nivlaim B'Dama, or as we saw in the language of the Chazon Ish, Etzem HaKedusha. And the Sfasemis continues by telling us that Divrei Torah, according to Chazal, Divrei Torah Tahorim Heim, and they purify a person who studies the Torah, they bring a person to Tahara. And on Leil Shavuos, he says, Yored Mishamayim, what falls from heaven is Tahara L'Bnei Yisrael Acharei Demil Tvar Hashem. We reach the level of total commitment to the Tvar Hashem. On Chag HaShavuos, we are eager and ready for this kind of dveikus in Torah that will allow Torah to be nivloim b'damo. We are making ourselves hefker and alienating ourselves and distancing ourselves from all the material possessions. What do we want to dedicate ourselves to? The Eisek HaTorah, and exclusively Eisek HaTorah. When we reach that level, the Torah is metayer us. It purifies us, it uplifts us. And therefore, since the Torah protects us and protects the purity of Klal Yisrael, we have to do everything in our power to, he used the language of Messiah, so some love of the Torah to come to Torah. Wow, we reach this level in which Hashem opens up the heavens and brings down Torah in order to purify and uplift us, to inspire us. And even though Torah is hefker and anyone can take it, but for the Kinyan HaTorah, that's where we're required to make ourselves hefker like the Midbar, meaning to disconnect ourselves with the physical possessions for the sake of the spiritual possessions of Torah and Chochmah. I want to expand a little bit on this Sfas Emes and his description of HaTorah, Divrei Torah Nivloim B'Domo, to reach that almost identity between the person and the personality and the Torah itself. It becomes one, it becomes unified. This Fasemis that we saw should be embellished by a different statement of this Fasemis, in which he quotes the Pasuk Yimtze'ehu B'Eretz Midbar. And Hashem finds Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar and gives them a gift that's a great Mitzvah. Mitzvah Gdola Motzah Kosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Says the Sfasem is Midbar Hu HaBitul. What does it mean Midbar is Bitul? You know, just like the Midbar, so to speak, has nothing for itself. It's completely desolate. So too, we have nothing for ourselves. What we want is not for ourselves, but rather to be Hefker, to be Mevata ourselves. We understand and we feel that there's nothing really significant in this world, just to be close to Hashem, to be dovek in the Shechina. That becomes our goal, to the exclusion of all other goals. We mevatel everything for the sake of that one goal. We are absolutely focused, laser focused on achieving that goal. And that's the unique nature of Bnei Yisrael. He says, amongst all the nations, we have this element of Bittul, because we want to embrace the Torah, we want to embrace the wisdom, we want to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can identify with the Torah. It becomes one entity. And Reb Chaim Volozhin speaks about the fact that when a person studies Torah, he's transformed, so to speak, and he stands in front of the Shechina. That's where he is. It's unbelievable. And I wanted to share with you a story about Rav Rudiman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael of Baltimore and the founder of the yeshiva. He studied in the younger class and the younger branch of Slabodka, Slabodka Yeshiva. He was 14 when he entered into the yeshiva, and he tells the story that the altar, the great Mashgiach in Slabodka, took an interest in him at his young age. And when Rav Rudiman came to the yeshiva at 14, he was so uplifted and inspired by what was going on in the yeshiva, the whole atmosphere, that he decided on Erev Rosh Hashanah as a 14-year-old to accept upon himself to finish all of Shas during the Chorev Zman by Pesach. Now, Keep in mind that Rav Rudiman had lost his mother when he was a child. He was 7 years old when he became a Yosel Mi'imo. And on the 29th of Tishrei, shortly after Rosh Hashanah, a few weeks later, before the regular Zman began, the Cheshvan Zman, a notification reached the yeshiva in Slabodka that Rav Rudiman's father had passed away. So imagine, now he's 14 years old, he's a Yosel. Now the Alter knew two things. Number one, he knew that Rav Rudiman had accepted upon himself a Kabbalah to complete all of Shas by Pesach. And he also found out, he knew that Rav Rudiman's father had passed away. And he decided, the Alter, that he would postpone telling Rav Rudiman the bad news for 6 months. And only 6 months later, at Pesach time, when Rav Rudiman had completed the Kabbalah of Shas, then the Alter came over to him with the Shmua Yeshana, the old Shmua, to tell him what had happened, and his father had passed away. And when the Alter justified or excused himself and asked for forgiveness for why he waited so long to pass on this idea to Rav Rudiman, he said, "Hashas shalcha shava Yosef ben Akadish," that the Shas that you finished is more important for probably for your father than Kaddish itself. And the fact that we can discipline ourselves for a Kabbalah HaTorah on an annual basis and have this aspiration, like Reish Lakish when he accepted the Torah, to be totally focused on the Torah, that this is our primary goal, and with that focus to be like the Midbar and a kind of bittul and a desire for dveikus, in which all other material possessions and aspirations become totally secondary. They're off our radar screen. That's an amazing level that we can achieve on Shavuos on an annual basis. And I want to mention to you a statement in Tosus and Ksubis, who quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, "Ad shadam mispal shiikonis Torah l'toch gufo, yispal shiikonsu ma'adonim l'toch gufo." Meaning, Tosis, in the name of this Medrash, posits a sort of two roads diverge to the yellow wood that mutually exclusive. It's either a person wants to enjoy pleasures ma'adonim in his guf, or he wants the Torah to enter through his guf. You know, the same kind of phraseology that we saw in the Sfas Emes about Torah, nivlas bedomo. And what are the madonim that go into his guf? It's the Torah that goes into his guf. And the Gemara says there in Ksubis about Rav Yehuda Hanasi that he was able to lift up his fingers at the end of his life and declare shalom nena filu bi'etzpa ketana. He never pursued any pleasures, even a pinky's worth of pleasures. This is the great bracha of a person when he's focused and interested in spiritual enjoyments and pleasures and spiritual achievements, not in the physical world. And if you look at the Chasam Sofer in Parashas Bechukosai, when God promises as a reward for Torah study, v'achaltem lachmechem lesova, that you'll be satiated by the bread that you eat, Rashi says, what does it mean, lesova? Ochel kimavu mizbarech b'meyav. And you might ask, what's the need for this bracha? Why couldn't Hashem just say, I'll fill up all your silos with grains, you'll have enough to achieve satiation? No. Rashi says something different, that you'll eat a small amount, but you'll feel satiated. And the answer is, says the Chasam Sofer, HaBrocha Gedolehi Shehamiut Achila Yesavea V'yuchal Yidei Kein Lahachnis Torah B'meyav, that he'll be satiated with a small amount. Not that he's going to have to eat and eat and eat until he's full and beyond and he's satiated. You know, that Hashem has to provide so much, so great volumes and quantities of grains that will have so much food. No. That will be satisfied with a limited amount of gashmius, of physicality. And, you know, although today, you know, a lot of the yeshivas try to upgrade the physical conditions, that's all great. But the old style yeshivas, it was very challenging. I remember the yeshivas that I learned in, you know, where the food was very, very limited. You know, we would wait a whole week to get prili, whatever it might be. I remember when it was cold in the dorms. And the answer is that the great bracha would be ochel kima, even though you're eating a little bit of man, but misbarech b'meyav, because your focus is on Torah. And this dedication to the study of Torah requires such a tremendous amount of discipline. There's a famous vart from the Ribnitzer, the Ribnitzer, excuse me, and he used to say about the pasuk Vayishlach Avram es Yodo, Vayikach es Machelos, Vayishchol Lishchol es Pno. What's Vayishlach es Yodo? Why did you say Vayikach Avram es Machelos? Was Vayishlach es Yodo? And he explains that Avraham Avinu sanctified and purified all of the Eivarim, the Ramach Eivarim, the Shaginim, to the point in which the body itself, almost on its own, would run to do mitzvahs. But here at the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was not interested in Shechting Yitzchak. In fact, the Ran points out that there was never an explicit tzivui, a mitzvah, a command to shecht Yitzchak. All that happened was Hashem said, "Go through the actions." And Avraham Avinu was in a strange kind of situation, because here he didn't have that natural intuitive sense of doing the Akedah. His body was not helping him. He, Avraham Avinu, came to the conclusion, the way he understood Hashem's communication to him, that it's a mitzvah. But he had to overcome his body. The discipline was so great that Huchrach Lishloach as Yodo Bekfir, he had to force his hand to pick up the makolas. That's why Yishlach Avraham is Yodo Bal Karcho. And therefore the tzivi came through the Malach Al Tishlach Yod Chalama, meaning don't force and compel your arm to go through with the Akedah. And Al Taslo Ma'uma. And really, according to the din, the Yad was correct because it didn't want to Shecht Yitzchak. But we see over and over again how a person can uplift himself to the point in which it's Nivla B'Dama, the Torah Divrei Torah is Nivla, it's Mandanim of Torah B'Gufo, Yikonis HaTorah L'Gufo. He becomes, as we saw the Chazon Ish, Gufa Kedusha. And with that identity of the body and Kedusha, with the transformation, the elevation of the body to a level of Gufa Kedusha, Etzem HaKedusha, it makes sense that the body itself would want to do the Ratzon Hashem. And in that sense, we understand very well why both the Chazon Ish and Rav Ber see the Chacham as a Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem is totally dedicated to the Ratzon of Hashem, as wants nothing for itself. The Malach Hashem is purely Shlichus to do the Ratzon Hashem. And when a person, a human being, through his Torah studies, his dedication thereof, becomes like a malach, when he becomes Etzem HaKedusha, he's mamish like a malach. And every fiber in his body, and every thought that crosses his mind is, how can I serve Hashem? And the body itself naturally serves Hashem. This is a madrega of Kabbalah Satorah. And annually, on the day of Shavuos, we are Mekabel Torah. That's the nature of Shavuos, and that's the skula of that day. And this is Ashtar Yuchsin. Ashtar Yuchsin takes us all the way back to Avraham Avinu, who becomes, Avraham Avinu is the personification of the Gufa Kedusha. It's a Torah Nivlas B'Domo. It's every fiber in his body and every limb of his body is running and craving to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's our Sefer Yuchsin. That's where we stem from. That's why Yisyaldu al Mishpachosom Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosom L'Beis Avosom. This is our claim to Torah. It's not the Yichus, but rather it's this propensity of the Jewish people as the unique nation on the face of the earth, no other nation is like them, that we can aspire to be totally, totally dedicated to Kinyan HaTorah. That's the nature of that people. He rots them, if his will, that will be Zocha, to be like the Midbar, to be Dovek, be Etzem HaTorah, to become Guf HaKedusha, to really manifest that unique nature of the Jewish people. Keni Ratzon, Amen. And as a postscript, I just want to reiterate the words, the beautiful words of Sfasemes in Parshas Bamidbar, Vihine Bitul B'Emes Einim Tzibolim Rak B'Bnei Yisrael. That Bechina, that dimension of Bitul, which we identify with Midbar, is unique to the Jewish people. Atem Ama'at Mikol Amim means that we have Dveikus in Hashem and Bitul in Hashem Echad.